There's more than one way to build a brave and beautiful life. And today I am very excited to talk to my friend Betsy Huggins about this topic. A messy, brief introduction. Betsy, well, first and foremost, she's my friend and I love her. She is a hopeful creative. Betsy and I have collaborated over the years on some different fun little projects, and I think both of us are excited about playing a little more in this new season of life. But Betsy is also autistic, and she lives with FND, or functional neurological disorder. And just a tiny little side note here, you know, if you listen to my podcast, that I love side notes. And both of us are in agreement that talking about neurodivergence or disability or, you know, things like that, like we are conscious that every human gets to choose the language that works for them, and we might not get it right. Like what the language that works for Betsy when we're talking about autism and FND may not be the language that works for you, and you get to use and honor, you know, the what does work for you. So Betsy, for instance, doesn't consider her experience or expression of FND as a disorder per se. It is sort of part of it's an expression of what's happening in her nervous system. And we may or may not kind of discuss that further. But I just wanted to say that out loud, kind of in this messy way. And I will share links to Betsy's work where she talks more about what's going on for her and what that looks, sounds, feels like for her in her body in this season of life. And you can learn more following those links. But one part of Betsy's experience is that she can struggle with sensory regulation. And when her system is overloaded, she sometimes experiences facial tremors, a stammer, or I think you said it's more called a stutter in North America, maybe, and or tics. And yeah, okay. So we just wanted to share that right from. And so before Betsy and I, you know, start chatting here, I want to kind of frame the conversation. And this is a topic, even though we're not here to solve any problems, we're not here to solve any great mysteries of the universe in this conversation. We're just here to talk and be real. But one thing that's always on my heart and mind is how do we create more safety and more space for folks who don't fit into traditional boxes? Whatever those are. You know, I'm thinking about one of my kids, for instance, with ADHD and some unique challenges, and maybe not only ADHD, but like just some very unique ch challenges. And she's this strong, beautiful, creative human. Is there, you know, well, I know there's room for her in the world, but she has to find her own pathway, like her own path. And I have had to find my own path in life. And you are, you know, you've had to find your own path in life as well. And a lot of us just don't fit into the sort of neat and tidy, for I don't know, I don't even like any of this language, but I think it's considered the normal way of being human. And so if we don't have these conversations with each other, then we can feel isolated or wrong, bad, and broken. And of course, like I think my whole life has been pushing back against that and questioning it and continuing to try to figure out how do I keep building a brave and beautiful life that feels like home for me, my nervous system, my current, you know, experiences of life, including living around or with trauma, as I continue to heal and just all the things as a highly sensitive human and all the things. So I want to talk about, is it possible? Now, I just, sneak peek, I believe it's possible. I just don't think it's easy. So the question is it possible for each of us with whatever is in our current experience of life, is it possible for us to build a brave and beautiful life? And how do we do that? How do we support each other? How do we love ourselves and get creative about doing so when life doesn't always feel easy and there's no well-paved path ahead of us? Okay, that's my spiel. Okay.
Love it.
So Betsy, let's just go right into, you are autistic and you live with FND. Can you share a little bit about what life is like for you in this season? Let's just start there. One question at a time.
One question at a time. Baby steps. So, yeah. Hi, to everyone, anyone who's listening, and thank you to Krista for inviting me. It's lovely to be here. One thing I wanted to add on to Krista's explanation of what's going on for me is the noise that you're maybe hearing while listening to this talk is my teeth chattering. So part of my newfound quirks of this neurological disorder is that I have developed a facial tremor, and it's particularly bad when I'm nervous. And so right now when I'm speaking with Krista, I am a little bit nervous. So that's what the sound you're hearing in the background is. So
And
yes.
so Betsy, you know this, and I'm going to say it out loud just in case. I'm going to talk right to your nervous system and say, all of you is welcome here. All of you, all parts of you, all expressions of you. I love you, and I'm glad you're here.
Thank you so much. So back to your question. Remind me what it was again.
What's life like for you in this season, with, specifically with being autistic and living with FND? Because the FND is the newer, is new-ish in your life, or that.
Sure. So for me, FND is a complication with my nervous system. The way I am experiencing it now is that my responses to my environment, that I've felt all my life now play out physically. I think in my body, so I have always been a very sensitive human, struggled a lot with regards to all kinds of different sensitivities, but especially around sound and people and having social anxiety. And so now I find that when I am out in the world, especially away from my safe space, my home, my body responds in quite a big way, in that I get tremors. I can find it difficult to speak, and yeah, so it is interesting, and the times very difficult to be out and about, to find safety. I think that is the biggest thing that I am trying to find. So I'm grateful for being here and you offering me that in this space.
I'm sure that a lot of people will think you're incredibly brave to show up here And even though it's very stretching for your nervous system, it's you're pushing yourself at the edges of your capacity, but you're still here. And I noticed that about you, Betsy, that you retreat sometimes because you have to, and then you show up again online, offering your work, playing, here with me, traveling. Like you do a lot of things that actually are pretty challenging for you. And do you know why you make those choices? Like, is that a conscious, deliberate thing, or?
So I think for me, I get a lot of comfort and strength hearing from other people, learning from other people, and connecting with other people. I think when you've struggled with a sensitive nervous system all your life, I think, and not understood why, I think it can be very scary and isolating. And I think that I find a lot of comfort and strength in connection and understanding from other people. I like to try and make sense of what's going on in my body and my mind. And obviously, these days, there's a lot of information out there to take in and filter by yourself. And I find for me the one of the best ways to help me make sense of it is through learning and connecting with other like-minded people like yourself and people that are out there experiencing things not always the same, but similar to what you're going through.
Yeah, and that's definitely a gift of social media, is even though it can get really noisy and like for my nervous system, for my well-being, I have to have days and weeks just 100% removed. And then I can come back and engage a bit. And but yeah, so that wealth of information that's available, even though you still have to do your own sifting and advocating, and that is a gift in this season, I think, right? For a lot of people.
Absolutely. I think even as far as the fact that there's so little understood about FND, my doctor had never even heard of it. So it was an autistic friend of mine who even told me about it and introduced me to other people who had had it. And so just even in that, I think is in an incredible benefit of the online sort of communities and connections that we can grow when we get creative, I suppose.
And really, you and I are teaching or offering a workshop soon on the topic of creativity, and I'll share a little bit more later. But really, that keeps popping up, like getting creative about building a life that, that is brave and beautiful, or that it feels like home, or that is right sized. Getting creative about meeting our people and building healthy friendships and community, which, I say often includes meeting people online, just like you and I did. Like you're one of my favorite people in the world, and we met online years ago through my work. And we've only met in person once so far. And that in no way takes away from the relationship. Right. But there are still these old stories that to be a friendship looks this one way, and it's just, it's, you need to question.
Absolutely. I think so. And for some of us, especially with sensitive nervous systems, actually, my relationships could I can be more open and honest and engaged when I'm in the comfort of my own home. And I feel safe here. And so I feel the people I feel most connected to are those that I think, yeah, I have met online. So I don't think it takes away from real life friendships, but for me personally, I even feel it adds a little bit of extra sparkle to them.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And yeah, I see so many that's true in my family. And I see that a lot around me, is that those of us who are neurodivergent in whatever shape or form that comes, strong introverts, like we, our lives are enriched by the online spaces. Excuse me. And I would add for myself, at least, that when they're boundaried, so that's not so much with my close friends, but again, like it can also be like there's beauty and then I need to get offline and just be in solitude and shut down my brain and shut down even my feeling a little bit. And yeah.
Absolutely. It is, unfortunately, it does come with a level of noise and speed and sort of color that can be very triggering for our nervous systems. And so, like you said, I think as with everything, it's finding the balance and going, like you said, I retreat, I go out and I share what I can. And then sometimes I'll just shut down for when this happened. I think I wasn't really showing up online for a year because I found the noise too much. And so it's just constantly trying to listen in and give out when you can and retreat and recover.
So I want to follow this train of thought a little bit more. It wasn't planned per se, but you and I have chatted personally about this a bit, I think, maybe even our last friend chat, about how I think both of us have been creative about our work as well, like finding ways to express, create, serve, connect in ways that works for us. Because I don't think either of us are wired for leaving the house every day. I'm not even wired for getting dressed every day, let alone leaving my house every day and being like 8 hours straight with other humans. And again, the online world has made a lot of this possible. And what was my point though? So just the getting creative about building businesses as well, or finding ways to work and make money that work for us. And that might mean that we can't be quote unquote on every day, right? Like, so I have days where I engage with other people, days where I'm off, I'm doing other forms of work that don't require talking, or even being around other people. So I'm losing my own train of thought. Where did I want to go? Well, okay, I'm just going to jump over to, I don't know where I was going, but I'm just going to jump over to this. So just before we started talking, you said we were talking about finding safety in your body, safety in some online spaces and friendships. And you said that I think what you were saying is that connection or the ability to see, say maybe other people who are living with FND, for instance, like that gives you hope when you don't feel like you can grow hope for yourself. Just that right there, it gives me goosebumps. I'm like, oh my God, that is so beautiful. It gives you hope when you can't grow hope for yourself. You're really good with language, even though I think you like art, like doodling and graphics as expression more than finding words, but you really are. Words. So one, just pausing there for a moment, you know, finding ways to remember that you're not alone in the world. You know, one of the things that comes up, you again, I'm spinning off, and I think that's okay. But Betsy, one of the things that it seems to me that can come up for people who don't easily fit into the mold, the prescribed pathway of, this is what success looks like, or whatever the story is, I think shame can be a huge thing. And we can start to believe the story that we're bad, we're wrong, we're broken, something's wrong with me, it's my fault. Sometimes even like, am I making this up? Like your body could be in excruciating pain, but your brain is saying, well, maybe it's not as bad as you're thinking it is. It's like, nope, it really is. This is real. Like, is there anything you want to say about that? Like,
Yeah, I definitely agree that shame, and also I was thinking before about this sort of self-worth, and I know I've struggled all my life with this idea of self-worth and value and success and perceived success and what that looks like. And I think it's really very hard when you struggle to find safety in your body, and if you struggle then with mental health difficulties of any kind, like you said, it's very easy to wander in your own brain if you have, if it is of your own imagining, if you can just think your way through these difficulties. And I think especially when it's tied in with nervous systems, they're so variable. My symptoms change throughout the day and throughout the course of the month and throughout the year. It doesn't always look the same. So I think what I'm trying to say is that when you're living in a body that really struggles to find safety, it is shame. It is a really, really disabling aspect of it, because you almost keep yourself small, because it's really hard to grow and go out and what's the words I'm looking for? Our society is so very focused on producing, on valuing time and energy that you give out to the world. I think it's hard to see how you can be of value in a society that focuses on things that you find very difficult to access. Am I making any
Oh,
sense
yeah. Yep.
there?
100%. Yes.
So yes, so I still very much that is something I'm still very much not successful at doing for myself, sort of finding value, or both sort of seeing the emotional value, the energetic value, the economic value in yourself as a human can be very difficult, I think, when you don't necessarily can't access that sort of trust or that safety in your body.
So, I didn't say this yet this episode, but I keep re you know, I'm repeating it on purpose every episode because the theme it of the season is old stories, new possibilities. We've already touched on, without saying so overtly, like we've already touched on some old stories, and this is definitely probably a hard story to rewrite in our culture that values, like you said, uber productivity, perpetual summer, burnout, or at the very least, the behavior that leads to burnout tends to be celebrated. And And I hear in my work a lot of people grappling with this idea of like, who am I? Where does my value come from if it's time to retire? Or as my body ages, or like just this natural progression in life, being a human, even like without any extra layers of challenge or tricky experiences to navigate. And it's a real thing that a lot of us are having to figure out for ourselves. And I think it's like it's something that I think we have to keep talking about, because what happens if you like, well, one of the things, like not our conversation, but just like let's say somebody who's able-bodied and there are no, like they can go to work, they've been able to go function and with relative ease and all the things. And if you have such fear though of moving into different seasons of life, it's problematic. Like, if your whole value is tied to productivity or external affirmation and accolades, like,
Exactly. It just adds an extra layer of, yes, of stickiness to have to work through, I think, doesn't
yeah. Okay, so just
it?
one final thought here is, Betsy, do you offer your work, like when you're able to show up and that like your work is beautiful, and do you offer it to offer others hope? Is that a motivation?
That's an interesting question. So yes, I think I very much do, but I also I think it is I think it is the flow of exchange that I love. I like to share my experience in the hope that it will help make others feel safer and seen and understood. I think that's a really important part. I have to admit though, I love the connection that it brings. I love when I share my work and people would comment or reflect or add their own experience and thoughts to it, so that in turn helps me like reevaluate or maybe bring in another perspective. So it is both an offering, but it is also an exchange of energies. That's what brings me the most joy, I think, is the sharing and the feedback, the sort of flow of what sharing and connecting with people does for me. So I would like to say it's a purely selfless endeavor, but it's obviously also selfish in that
It's
I love
reciprocal.
to keep learning. It's reciprocal.
Yeah.
Yes, it's that's the word. I read that somewhere this morning, and it's not a word I sort of understood very clearly, but I see it as the waves, the energy flow that goes out and comes back again. Reciprocal. Perfect.
Yeah, and I don't know if we like ha because I think any healthy relationship is bidirectional or reciprocal.
Right.
Compassion too is reciprocal. Like it's like, but we have these stories that sometimes like that compassion is an outpouring. It's only a giving. And I'm like, is that true though? I believe that actually compassion must be reciprocal, or at the very least bidirectional, where even if the other person that you're choosing to be in relationship with can't offer you that right now, but you offer it to yourself as well as. So there needs to be this sort of bi-directional movement for health.
Right, exactly, and I suppose for thinking of your nervous system regulation, the balance, isn't it? It's the seesaw, learning to sort of steady ourselves through both the in and the out breath,
Yeah.
almost.
All right. So again, circling back again to this theme of old stories, new possibilities. Is there a story that you have needed to rewrite or question for your own well-being and joy in your life or this season or even this year?
So I was thinking on that because I know, we had a few questions that may come up earlier, and I think for me, one of the stories, one of the things that I have been rewriting over and over, it seems, but it is this idea that there isn't always an answer. I think is a really big one for me because I like problems and I like to solve them and I like things black and white and clean and tidy. And I think that that has been a particularly hard lesson with my FND when this showed up, especially when I think your mental health struggles become physical. When it's a physical thing, I think I expected, hoped to be able to go to a doctor, and to have an answer and to be able to fix myself. I think I'm always looking for a quick fix. And that has been a giant learning curve for me, for my family, for everyone who experiences, I think, chronic illness will understand the frustration, desperation, that comes into it when there is not a clean and easy explanation of what's going on in your body, and that there is not something that you can take or do, that will make it feel better. So I think I've always known that about my brain, but it's something I have to keep on retelling for myself, for my own well-being, that it is okay not to have an answer, and there
To
can
learn
be.
how to live in the uncertainty, the messiness, the ebb and flow, the lack of control.
Complexity, the lack of control, exactly. There is not a person I can go to that will make it magically disappear, that there's not a single reason or event that I can blame for it. There is not, yes, there is not clarity and order. But there are still lessons that you can learn along the way, I think.
And I'm not saying this as a comparison or sort of like it's not the same, but I think it's maybe helpful to others, like to also think about how, like, for me, what comes up is like learning how to live around grief. I know what the grief stems from. But there is no fix. Like, I don't need fixing and I can't be fixed. There is no fix. The fix is I learn safety here. It sucks. I don't want to do this work a lot of the days. I just wish it was easier. I wish there was a pill I could take. But to live fully, to live bravely, to continue building a beautiful life means I learn how to be here in the intense discomfort, in the waves that come and go without my consent. Like the days that I can feel rising panic come out of the seemingly out of the blue. And how do I respond? How do I? But the biggest thing that I hear you saying and that I live every single day also is reminding myself I am safe here. I am safe here. I am safe here. I am safe here. And it's not enough to just repeat it, of course. I have to have that embodied experience of safety, and keep trying to find my way back to it.
Yeah, exactly that. It is. It's sometimes exhausting and hard and scary. But like you said, when you can tap into that and start to trust that again, I think it is a giant gift at the same time.
And I feel like I need to we need to sort of head towards the wrapping up. Even though, there's a million things I would still love to explore with you, but perhaps another time, another day. So let's I want to share a little bit about the Reignite Your Creativity workshop. So maybe if you have capacity, you could just share a bit about how you're expressing creativity in this season, if that feels like an interesting idea for you to talk about.
You're right, exactly. I think it's interesting, isn't it? I think creativity for me is sort of joining the dots on the inside of my mind and helping me to understand my own inner experience and my inner landscape. So I think I do it in I use creativity. It's a really difficult thing for me to share how I express it. I think I use it in how do I tap into my creativity and express it. I think by trying to make sense of my insides, that's what I've just said, isn't it? And express that by writing and drawing and trying to use that. I'm losing my words.
Well, I see that you do that really beautifully, like on your Instagram page, for instance, like that expression of this is what's happening in my body or in my inner world. And then you have this gift of like this like simple illustration that really like I get it. You know what I mean? Like I look at that and I'm like, oh yeah, that's what it's like, so I can see that that is one expression of your creativity.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's it, isn't it? I think it helps me make sense of my world and simplify. It's a very naive, sort of simple, very often sort of monochromatic black and white understanding to help me make sense, and then I share it with my doodles and my words around my experience. Yes, words I find difficult.
So I would like to suggest too, like just some observations, because I've known you for years. I mean, one obvious thing is like you keep like you and I are, like playing together, right? Like you illustrated my mindfulness journals, my seasonal mindfulness journals in 2019. We've done some other little projects together. We're gonna do this workshop together. Like these are expressions of creativity as well. But also, I've noted, like I've watched you figure out how to work. Like, so this is like this feels important to me because often when we talk about creativity, people assume we're talking about knitting, painting, dancing, drawing, and it's like, well, creativity is also challenging old stories and expectations. Creativity is building a life that feels like home. Creativity is how can I pay my bills in a way that honors my wiring? And, it's all of these things. How can I envision a hopeful future for myself and look for alternative pathways to get there. That all of this is creative living.
Yeah, I completely agree. And what?
I see you doing this.
Thank you. I'm glad. And I don't know how you can see and express it so beautifully, because that is the one piece of my brain I really struggle with. I find finding the words and the expression, especially quickly when I don't have time to doodle it or feel it or write it out and delete it. So I'm so grateful that you can see it. But yes, having to make a life with that, you could call it limitations of a very reactive nervous system, does take creativity. It does take you needing to do things differently and unusually, and maybe you'd call it quirkily. It means, you know, trying to find work that will pay you enough to enable you to keep living the life and finding safety. I think that's a really important part of it too, is that financial safety and security is as much a part of, taps into our need for physical mm-hmm. safety. And so
Huge.
Doing right and doing that, finding that, trusting that, knowing that you can contribute to your family and your life, and yes, in a way it means you have to take risks and do things differently, which is interesting and fun and scary.
Yeah, all of it, right?
Yeah, right.
And I do think, though, that we, like you touched on, how sometimes valuing yourself is challenging. And I think that to keep doing this, like especially around money, and which is so important, like you said, to our sense of safety and security, just on a practical level and in our nervous system. But but we have to learn how to value our work.
Yeah.
As yeah, and that's a whole, like, that a big learning curve, and a practice. It's a practice, right? That's ongoing. Okay, I'm so grateful for you, just knowing you, Betsy, sharing life with you in some ways, and also just you being here today, and you know, so thank you. I'm just gonna wrap up. So on June 5th, Betsy and I are offering a workshop. It's, I've entitled it Dream, Expand, Express Yourself, Reignite Your Creativity. and these are kind of summary themes. And for those of you who, you know, enjoy a good seasonal living framework, but everyone's welcome. But we're going to talk about we're going to invite you to kind of bring your pencil and colored pencils and engage with some ideas that help us maybe notice the ways that we're already expressing our creativity, maybe limiting beliefs around where we, you know, how we think about creativity, and explore sort of expanding or opening up to some new ways of embracing creative living or whatever. There's, you know, different exercises. Betsy will join me for the morning session, and I'm also offering an evening session. It's a two-part workshop. It's not the same workshop at two different times. So you can join us live for both, or just choose whichever one works for you, and you'll get the replays for both. So you don't have to worry about it. But if you want to save $10, I recommend that you sign up by Saturday, because it's $17 right now. And then the price goes up to $27 and then $45 after the live event. So I recommend that just get it while it's cheaper, if that, you know, if you want to, and then you can just watch the replays at your own pace. But I love these workshops for multiple reasons. They're fun opportunities to kind of like not get too serious about whatever we're talking about, but they're always valuable, I believe, and the feedback tells me so. But I like the connection. I like seeing people. I like hearing questions. I like hearing what's coming up for other people. And they're relatively like low risk, low cost ways to come play a little bit, dip your toe into whatever we're talking about. And yeah. So join us if you would like to. And otherwise, thanks again, Betsy, for being here. And I'm going to end with the little closing phrase that I use all the time, or invitation, which is to make peace with messiness, to make space for joy. Until next time.